and here for an update on the news. It's Annie Haswell.
Hi, Sarah. Just a quick look across the world at what's happening with COVID-19. 10.7 million people have now been diagnosed with the virus. Of those, almost 5.5 million have recovered, but there are 515,000 deaths. And of course, in Australia, we are way luckier than that, with only 104 deaths. But of course, all eyes on Victoria, where overnight there were 77 new infections. So another small rise, not the fall that was hoped for, and everybody worried about whether it's going to be a second wave. Victoria today heads into postcode lockdown. And apparently there's been a rush of people trying to change their address on their driver's licenses, but I'm afraid the authorities are onto that one. In Sydney, they're worried once again about Victorians because a man who spent 2 weeks in hotel quarantine in Victoria has tested positive for coronavirus after returning to New South Wales. He worked at Woolies and, of course, it sparked a crisis there where 50 staff have been told to self-isolate.
And the complex border situation is getting increasingly political.
Yeah, hard to know where you can go and when, but it's becoming a federal versus states argument, with Prime Minister Scott Morrison using tomorrow's National Cabinet meeting to call for an end to the virus border wars that have turned Victoria into a pariah state and, as he says, put at risk the nation's economic recovery. And as part of the argument, he's using economic modelling commissioned by the Australian tourism industry, which estimates that for every day the borders stay shut, Australia loses $84 million in gross state product and sheds 704 jobs, with that economic hit and job losses the most pronounced in Queensland.
Scott Morrison is also extending a helping hand to Hong Kong residents.
Yes, I know you're covering this later in the program, but he just recently announced that Australia is considering providing a safe haven to Hong Kong residents. This is because of the new security laws, which were passed this week in Hong Kong and are making everybody pretty scared of what kind of measures the Chinese Communist Party could take against people who disobey the laws.
Sydney's Daily Telegraph has lost its appeal against a record defamation payout awarded to actor Geoffrey Rush.
Scary story for journalists. Last year, as everybody knows, Geoffrey Rush was awarded $2.9 million after winning his case against the Daily Telegraph. The case is actually against Nationwide News, which is the publisher owned by Rupert Murdoch. The stories were accusing Geoffrey Rush of behaving inappropriately towards a former theatre co-star. And the lawyers had appealed on the basis that the payout, which is the largest one ever awarded to a single person in Australia, was manifestly excessive. But three federal court judges have ruled that the sum was appropriately high, given the extremely serious allegations and the harm caused to Mr. Rush's reputation.
And a think tank advising on foreign policy is having its independence questioned.
Yes, well, foreign policy think tank, the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, featured prominently yesterday after the defence announcements, and it's widely used by the media for comment on defence policy issues. So today there are claims that the organisation is bankrolled by defence and is responsible for the increasingly anti-China tone in defence decisions, such as yesterday's ramping up of Australia's capabilities. It's also an open secret that foreign governments and multi-billion dollar weapons makers are supporters of the Institute. Critics include former foreign ministers, ambassadors and senior figures within the defence establishment who contend that ASPI, the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, is an anti-China lobby that has hoodwinked the media into believing that it's independent.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Sarah.